334. Be thou my vision. Oh, Dan, what was his name? Dan.
Dan Goodrich.
Goodrich.
He's in heaven. This was his favorite song.
I always think of Dan Goodrich.
I always think of Dan when I look at trees, because he loved trees.
And flowers. And didn't like what?
And he didn't like eating plants, but he loved trees.
Yeah, you all meet Dan when you get there in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's sing. Be thou my vision.
Lord, Say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. All right. Well, keep singing like that. We're going to start later if that. Thankful that Jenny made it back in one piece. Driving like a bat out of Texas. Evidently.
That light's on.
What?
Amazing Me is on, I think.
Oh, yeah. All right, onliners, you can still get your prayer request in at bbfohio@protonmail.com. And if you're in the house, raise your hand and we'll get a prayer card to you. I believe Janie's still willing to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I have a couple more if you
need
one.
Raise your hand for the prayer card. Yeah. Doug's hoarding them back there. There's a toilet paper shortage, not a prayer card shortage.
Yeah, come on now.
As your reminder to silence all phones, even if they're not cell phones.
It's cute.
All right, Sean, we got a. Is the camera on? Oh, I forgot.
We
had, I forgot.
We got the guy in the card. Card. Yes. Yes.
Give me just a second, onliners.
This is just step one.
The tornado sirens.
That's how I do Wednesday, Pastor.
We can have the sermon in Oz instead, huh?
Yeah.
I'm game.
Or Kansas, wherever we land. All right. We're going to be in Luke if you want to get your Bibles open and ready. In Luke 13. Oh, I wanted to mention, just hold your question and comments at the end as we get into current events update. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, Columbus is in the top 10 cities for murder.
Yeah.
Not a good thing. This is the reports that they are all over the place yesterday after the ranking came out. This capital city is on pace to have more murders this year than ever before. And I thought we set the record last year.
No.
So
it was 175 last year.
So far this year, over 160 people have been murdered in the city. The year total was 176 for all of 2020. So this is one record we don't like to hold. But that just reminds you, you should say a word when you pray. Pray for your city. Pray for, pray for the cops. Most of them are good men and women, and they're doing their jobs. But pray for all the innocent people out there getting caught in the crossfire, stray bullets. And there's something like 20 gangs, small and large, working in the city now, they say. And it's just a sad state. But this is the truth. A Christ-rejecting culture breeds death. Most of the murders are among people who have totally rejected Jesus Christ. They're living, they're on drugs and all that. But just the culture at large, why do we have so many abortions? And why do we have so many murders across the country? The more this country turns from Christ, the higher the murder rate's going to go. Number two, the tyrannical vaccine mandate battle continues. But thanks to Texas Governor Abbott, he's banned all vaccine mandates in the state of Texas. Now, there's going to be a battle over that. The federal, anybody under the thumb of the federal government is going to be trying to fire you if you don't get the vaccine. It'll play out in the courts, but it's good to see some people standing up for the freedom that is still left in this country to tell my government that you will not inject things into me if I don't want them injected into me. And I don't care if I've gotten the vaccine or if I'm even pro-vaccine, I'm anti-tyranny. And that's the point. And at this point, that federal mandate isn't even a law. It's not even on the books. It's all, they're freaking people out and getting people in line, even though it's not even on the books yet. And so Republican attorney generals vow to sue over federal vaccine mandate when it's officially on the books. So when, if it goes on the books, then you got some attorney generals lined up to fight the mandate. Some of you see the Easter egg I put in there. deliverance. Anyway, we need more governors like DeSantis, not because he's Republican. I don't care if he's Democrat, independent, libertarian, whatever. I just want a governor who's going to say, you know what? We will not be forcing you to do anything against your will that is not in the Constitution itself.
Right.
And that's the problem. DeSantis backs a law banning vaccine-related firings after a Florida county was fined $3.5 million. And then he also floated a Florida law like the one in Texas against vaccine-related firings. And so pray for that governor. Pray for our governor. And we have support. You can call or write letters or emails for House Bill 248 that is stalled, that is all about protecting your rights. It's called the Enact Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Act. House Bill 248. You go to the Ohio Legislature website, find your state senator and state congressman by putting in your address, and you send them an email and simply tell them, "Dear sir or madam, please support House Bill 248. That's all you have to say. It's in numbers. They need to see numbers of people contacting them in support of this bill. And so if I can get some more specific information, otherwise that's all I can tell you to do. Go to that website. It's the Ohio Legislature website. And just do a search online at Ohio Legislature and go to that website, and they have a thing there where you can find your state senator and state congressman, and then you send them messages supporting House Bill 248. And number three, there are still some men of conviction in this country. North Carolina's lieutenant governor rejects calls to resign after calling transgenderism, homosexuality, filth. Yeah. I thought it was kind of peculiar they didn't show his face because he is a black man. So it makes you wonder if they're trying to hide that. In a speech at Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove in June, Robinson argued against the distribution of sexually explicit content in public schools. He said, "There's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth." He told the church at that time. "And yes, I called it filth," he contended. "And if you don't like it that I called it filth, come see me and I'll explain it to you."
Amen.
Amen. That goes for me. Anybody out there, I've had them contact me and call me a homophobic bigot. I'm not afraid of you. I don't have a phobia. I'll tell you, if I have a phobia, it's Godophobia. I fear the Lord.
Amen.
And God says that your transgenderism is an abomination.
Amen.
That your homosexuality is an abomination. And if you need me to sit down and read it to you, and yes, I'll read New Testament. And a lot of people out there don't really care who think that it's just Old Testament. Well, even if it were, it's God's Word. But it's clearly in the New Testament numerous places as well.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't talk about it. Yes, he did when he condemned fornication. That includes every form of sex outside of the God-ordained version. Between one man and one woman in marriage. So that's that. We got to make this quick because I've gone a little long. But Jenny, we'll take
all right. Columbus is getting to be number 10. Where's Chicago?
I don't know. I didn't get the list.
It may be in the top three.
Well, it probably doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sure Chicago's up there. Yeah, Rick?
The other thing I found out this week is that we've already talked about this, the vaccines that were quote-unquote approved by the FDA they're not manufactured yet. They have 2 years out before they're made. But that anything that's been emergency authorization used for the vaccine, it has a specific set of circumstances, and the only one that fits is a biological weapon. When you have a biological weapon released on your country, you're at war. We are at war with so many different factions, and it's like the media is keeping it exposed.
Right.
So it's all illegal for emergency authorization to say that this approved vaccine is illegal because it's Nuremberg Code. I mean, there's just all kinds of things messed up.
Yeah, it's a completely lawless thing going on right now.
It is.
And the only way, I've used this as an example, I think, Wednesday night, but y'all heard of the 501(c)(3), I think it's last week I mentioned. For years, churches submitted to something that wasn't even real. That does not preclude me to stand up here and speak the truth on political matters. The only thing I can't do is turn this into a wing of one of the political parties and make most of our work political. And I'm not supposed to outright endorse a candidate. But liberal churches did it for decades. Mm-hmm. And it was only the conservatives who bowed to a false notion. And finally, about 10, 15 years ago, people stood up and said, we're going to speak the truth. When John the Baptist rebuked Herod for having his sister or his brother's wife and said it was unlawful for him to do so, he wasn't worried about the IRS. Mm-hmm. And we're not either. If it's true, it's true. And so that's what we're going to do around here. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing. So give her a second to get up here and get in her chair there. All right. Brother John Allball, would you open Bible study prayer?
Amen. Heavenly Father, call upon your name today. More and more I study what's going on in the United States, Lord. It's very sad and disconcerting. Lord, you always remind me when I studied 606 B.C. when Israel fell, they had the pure word of God. They still had the Spirit. They still had everything, Lord, and they refused to avail themselves of it. And they refused to repent, and you just brought judgment on them. I just pray, Heavenly Father, in each of our lives here today and those out there on the web as well, be reminded that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We know your pure word. We have the Great Commission. And just like Jesus at 12 years old, he said, I must be about my Father's business. I feel each and every one of us is a vision of how we can serve you and at least make the difference in the lives of the people around us. We ask your choice blessings upon the word today, upon the Spirit. You may always be reminded that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that we're not second-class citizens because of anything bad we've done. We're still firstborns in your family. And your tender mercies are so great. And help us to take those tender mercies, Lord, and share it with those around us. Anoint your word today and do something great in our midst. And for your glory we ask you. You're coming in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, can you get these ready?
All three of them.
Can you zoom in there, Sean? Sean?
Yes.
Can I zoom in? Just want to have a good recording of this for posterity's sake. This is our sister Charmaine. from North Carolina. And she's got her boy and his girl with her down there. Jordan, I think he did all the driving, didn't he?
Pretty much. Hold on a sec.
Amen.
We spent some time with him yesterday and had a good time. And part of the time we sang a little bit. And she said that this is one of her favorite songs. So we're going to sing this one. Oh, how I wish.
The screen froze. That's not good. Yeah.
We'll get it on
there. Really
wanted to go out on
live stream. Give me a sec.
Song we sang. All right. Luke 13. Luke 10 through 17. And we're going to try to get through this without setting anything on fire. A wind blowing the roof off or anything like that. All his adversaries were ashamed. Now, this is the third of four events in this chapter before Jesus turns toward Jerusalem to go to the cross. And it's going to, like I said, it's going to be a while because there's a number of chapters. He crammed a lot of what he did into the chapters between here and the cross. But you remember John ended his gospel by saying that if we wrote down everything Jesus said or did, there wasn't enough books in the world to hold it all.
Amen.
So we still only scratched the surface of the life of Christ. There's so much wonderful things I'm sure that we could be told. But we're going to go ahead and read verses 10 through 17. I'll have you join me on the odd verses. I'll begin reading in verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
All the devils, be quiet. Verse 10. I wasn't pointing anybody in here. I was just a statement. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. We don't think of Jesus in these terms, but I love to think of Jesus just standing up there like I am now and teaching. Only what you get from him, you don't have to check your Bible. Everything you hear from me, you should be checking your Bible to search the Scriptures to see if what you're being told is true. You didn't have to do that with Jesus. He is the Word. Amen? Now, the Sabbath was given to Israel and Israel alone. We know some people today who pretend to keep the Sabbath. They don't. None of them keep it the way it was intended. And it was given to Israel and Israel alone. And real quickly, I just want to look Scripture with Scripture. There's never a commandment for anyone other than Israel to observe Sabbath. You search your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Nobody was told to keep Sabbath except Israel, and only when under the Mosaic Covenant. And they don't have a Mosaic Covenant even now. You don't have a Mosaic Covenant without a temple. That's what the Antichrist is going to pretend to confirm for 7 years when he comes. And they're going to have a temple built over there. But it'll be a blasphemous abomination in the eyes of God. Go back to Exodus 16 real quick. Let's look at this. Exodus 16. And if you look in most mainline denominations and their statement of faith, you will see that they claim to keep the Sabbath on Sunday. And there's nothing biblical about that. The Bible never calls our Sunday worship Sabbath. Exodus 16, 29 through 30 tells us who the Sabbath was given to. It says, go ahead and read verse 29 30 with me. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Now hold on there. Who did he give it to? Who's you?
Israel.
He's talking to Israel, who he's given the Mosaic Covenant to right now. He says, see, read again. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So this was while he was giving them the instructions for manna. And he gave them the Sabbath. He gave it to Israel. And you will not find a single instance of the church being told to keep the Sabbath. Not once. Now, can you imagine? This whole denomination is built on the idea of Saturday Sabbath. Based on there being... And they can't find a single verse in the New Testament where it tells them to do so. Rick?
I've always heard from different preachers that the 9 commandments Jesus reiterated were the ones to keep, and the Sabbath was never...
That's right. Yeah, and I'll add one more to that thought in just a minute. But that's exactly right. So when repeating the laws to the church, Paul, read the epistles of Paul. He leaves out the Sabbath. That's why we tell you to read through your Bible every year. You'll see this stuff. You read through the Bible every year. Look over at Romans 13. Romans 13 begins with the most oft-quoted passage in that chapter about the government. And it's taken out of context and abused a lot of times. But in Romans 13, beginning verse 8, He puts it in context. He says in verse 8, well, your turn there. I'll read that. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled what?
The law.
The law. Okay? Then he starts listing those commandments. He's going to list the ones that you are to keep. Now, the first first three commandments in Scripture were all about just God. Then the Sabbath was the fourth, and then the last five were all thou shalt nots. But all those last six commandments are things for you to do. Now look what Paul, he brings up the law, the last two words, puts it in context. Read verse 9 with me. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he goes on to again put it in context. Read verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the what?
Love.
See? Where's Sabbath? Did you see the Sabbath in there?
No.
It's not in there. Go home this week and read all, from Romans all the way to, well, if you want to, Revelation, but read all of Paul's epistles, which includes Hebrews. Go all the way from Romans to Hebrews and read those epistles. Even in Hebrews, a book written to Hebrews, he only mentions the Sabbath in the sense that Jesus has fulfilled it. He never tells the Hebrews anything about a commandment to keep the Sabbath as believers in Jesus Christ. He only uses the Sabbath as a lesson. And you'll never find in the rest of his epistles that are written to churches and Christians, never once does he tell anybody to keep Sabbath. Yeah, John?
In Ezekiel 20:12. It says, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them.
And who's them?
Israel.
That's right. Now, we have a whole message, and I don't have the time or interest to go into great detail, but that passage is one of a number that we have online. You go look up our message on the Sabbath, and we spell it out, and every time someone writes and tries to convert me to Sabbatarianism, I just send them the link to that message. Because we're going to go by the Bible.
Amen.
Statements of faith are fallible. Every statement of faith by every denomination has errors in it.
Amen.
That's why we don't study statements of faith. We study what?
The Bible.
The Bible.
Amen.
The importance of Sabbath to the Jews cannot be overstated. And so you have to have that frame of mind as you're reading this. How important the Sabbath was. And so we go with that background. We can see as we continue in beginning of verse 11. I'm going to read through 13 again. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. She was crippled over and could in no wise lift up herself. Now, Jenny had to sneak off to help me with something that I didn't do earlier. Reminds me of that cartoon. This ain't my day. But actually, with all these quirks and everything, I'm still having fun. But this poor lady, when I read this, I just about a month or about 3 weeks ago, my Jenny was walking around the house like this. And she would sit down on the couch and hurt. And so she would put her arm up like this and sit there like this and watch TV.
Aww.
How many of you have blown a disc when you're in your back? Anybody? I get asked, blown an what? Achilles? You know, you may not have been crippled over like that, but you know what it means to be in pain. And I just said, you know, you're going to be okay. We're going to pray for you. Never. I went in the other room. I got emotional one day. Sorry. And I just prayed. Give that to me. I don't want to see her like that.
Amen.
And but the Lord is so gracious.
Yes, He is.
And now I can't make her sit down. She's back at it. And, you know, you imagine the people who knew, I'll speak of the angel. You imagine the people who knew this woman personally and her bowed together, could in no wise lift up herself. I don't even have to know people when I see them like that. My heart just breaks. I remember as a little boy, it was Christmas time, and we were walking into what used to be called Hex. How many of you remember Hex? You're like, heck no, I don't remember that. You remember Hearts?
Yeah.
Hex and Hearts was right next. We were going in there, and I got so excited at Christmas time. They had it all decorated. They had Santa Claus out there ringing the bell, Salvation Army and all that. And as a little kid, and I was just so excited. But then I look over, and there's this man. And he's sitting on a cart with wheels. And he has no legs. I'd never seen that before. I was only probably 6 or 7 years old. I was shocked. I totally forgot about Christmas and all the decorations and even the toys and everything. I started walking through the little store. And I remember asking my mom or dad, how did he lose his legs? And they explained that I think they knew he was... that was something from a Vietnam vet from the war. And it's just one of the first moments where I realized what kind of world we live in. All the hurt, people out there that don't have the, childhood that I had, Rockwell, is that his name?
Norman
Rockwell. You know, I know his name, I just can't think of it. Norman Rockwell. And, that was my childhood. I started to realize that's the kind of world we live in. Jesus, when he was here, he'll heal a lot of people, but he didn't heal everybody. And since then, he hasn't healed everybody. Our world is a fallen world. We still have sin in this world. But let me tell you something. There's coming a day.
Amen.
And he gives us a taste of it so we'll know he's the one. And it says, when he saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. All these TV preachers that are claiming to be healers, do not send them your money. They're fakes. If they were real, they'd be down at Children's Hospital today.
Amen.
They don't go to the hospitals. Jesus went to the sick. He didn't hold rallies and take up offerings. That's the real healer right there. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She is healed.
Amen.
Time to rejoice, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
If your heart's right. See verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Shut up. You know what? If that man was the one bent over, if it was his wife or his daughter or his mother, he would have been rejoicing.
Yeah.
You want to be wrong with God? Forget what you really are. Forget that you're a sinner who deserves to be in hell. Forget that there's no reason you shouldn't have been born blind or lame. Forget that there's no reason you couldn't have been smashed on the highway like that guy who now can't walk. Brother Charlie Wednesday gave us a praise report of God's protection of him out on the interstate. And I was telling him, they drove through Cincinnati coming this way from the Ark. When we were going that way through Cincinnati to the Ark, we about got blown over by a tractor trailer. And if I hadn't hit my brakes, I may not be here right now. Well, what happened? I believe there's times God intervenes.
Amen.
I don't believe in the guardian angel thing the way it's sold by Hollywood and all that, but I believe in angels.
Amen.
Amen.
And I think one of the neatest things about Judgment Day, we stand before the Lord, is for Him to tell us all the times where an angel stood in.
Amen.
And so, in this case, this lady, she's going right to the top. And she is healed by Jesus. And anybody right with God would be saying, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. No, he's going to bring up technicalities. Sanctimonious, self-righteous, and self-centered. This is what you get from the people when it's all about me.
Yeah.
What about me and my needs, says our dog, Cammy. But you know, dogs are supposed to think like that. You're not a dog. You're supposed to be a saint. We're all saints in Christ. We're to be God's children. But the world is full of such people, amen? Now, I'm going to say, oh me, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been that guy on occasion. Churches are full of such people, by the way. We're not just talking about the big bad world out there. As a matter of fact, I've seen more in the church than about there.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, the church will be wanting to do something really important and everything, and then you have this guy stands up and, well, according to Robert's Rules of Order, you know, and then the business meeting blows up and people are yelling at each other, and the guy goes and runs and gets his pitchfork, and you know. True stories. Those things have happened. Ought not be, amen? So Jesus lets him have it. I love it. Read verse 15 again with me. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? A guy's cow gets thirsty and he'll break the Sabbath. The ruler is treating this woman worse than he treats his animals. I think there's a lot of people like that. And I'm all for you. If you ever come to my house, you'll think we're crazy the way we treat Cammy. Amen. You know. But let me tell you something. We know she's an animal. And, you know, we're not going to spend money on an air-conditioned doghouse or, you know, things like that whenever, you know, what we want to do is take care of our family. We want to give to the Lord first and foremost in His work. We want to do the things that need to be done. So you got to be careful how you treat your animals. You better treat them good. I mean, I think God will get you. You abuse animals. And I think there's something wrong with a person who abuses an animal, by the way. There's something real wrong with you. But you should treat animals as well as you would any guests in your house, you know. But as well, and I better be careful. I mean, we treat ours like family. I don't want to be a liar up here, you know. We treat ours like family. And I know somebody else who does, too. I mean, how many of you have posted pictures of your animal on your social media knowing hardly anybody cares, you know? You might catch them doing something real cute, and they'll be like, oh, that's pretty good. But the rest of the time, I'm like, oh, come on. But you know what? Treat your animals like that. But you ought to be treating human beings as good or better than that. Amen? And here this guy, there's something wrong with him. So the verse 16 says, he's continuing to rip this guy. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. 18 years. Shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? I'll come back tomorrow. I mean, can you imagine Jesus, if that story, she comes to Jesus and Jesus says, you know, we got a few hours yet. I'm going to go get a coffee. And you know, we'll come back and take care of this. Meet me here about dawn. I mean, why would you do that to somebody? That's what he wanted done. And Jesus says, you're crazy if you think this woman shouldn't be healed just because it's the Sabbath day. That's what I say.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't you just love Jesus?
Amen.
He's not like these people. Religion has destroyed a lot of people. Religious politics and church politics have destroyed people.
Yeah.
Every once in a while someone asks me, do you ever have business meetings? And I say, not until I want to split the church. You know, we have a business. We've had a couple meetings. I remember one, I love kind of playing. I'm got good news and bad news. First, the bad news is we're no longer going to be meeting here at Sharon Hall. The good news is because we're moving down the street. See? And I said, all the ayes say, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, there's the door. That's it. That's how we have a business meeting. No discord, no division. Amen? But if you start getting involved in crazy nonsense, you'll have your problems, you know. And Southern Baptist. I love Southern Baptist. I was an associate pastor in a Southern Baptist church. I don't hate them. I don't like the way they do things, is what I'm saying. They got a committee for everything.
Yeah.
And the committee has to have a head who then goes to a board. And then the board has to vote and then they take it back to the committee. And the committee has to then confirm it. And then it has to go to the whole board, the board of elders or deacons or anything. They have to vote on it. And then the pastor's like the president. And he has veto powers if he'd like. And all this politics. I mean, churches should not be run like Washington, D.C. God forbid.
Amen.
That's how most churches are, denominational especially. It's just a fact. Most of the non-denominational, they go too far the other way and get crazy. But strike that, you know, devil's in the extremes, as they, strike that middle there, you know. So Jesus put them to shame, and that's exactly what you and I should do. You know, if you have somebody like this guy you're dealing with, he didn't scream at him. He didn't throw things at him. He just point blank told him the truth. Said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And there's a time to do that, folks. I mean, that's not your ministry. That's not your calling, and it's not a spiritual gift. So don't make it a habit. But once in a while, you might have to speak up and say something. And what you're doing is defending true Christianity when you do that. Rick?
And the irony of, like, the law says to do no regular work, I believe, in some phrase like that. So if Jesus was regularly healing people
instead of a clinic,
and he did it again, like every all other
open Sabbath, you know,
right. It's like, right. Like I should have known. Wow,
yeah,
doing some healing.
Yeah,
that's your regular work.
And you know, people act like they don't have common sense, but you know, I think everybody would admit before God that they know that's the case.
Yeah,
you know, just like on Sundays, if you have to work, you're not breaking the Sabbath. If you don't have to work, you shouldn't work on Sunday because this is the day we gather and you're not supposed to forsake the gathering of ourselves together.
Mm-hmm.
And God set a principle down for all of us. You need a day off.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're not saying you shouldn't have a day off. We're saying you should. What you don't do, though, is make it a law. What you don't do then is use it to punish people with it. And there are churches who, because of building situations and everything, Friday was their day. Others on Saturday nights. But they're not saying you have to meet on Saturday and it's a Sabbath. So there's no problem with it. But whatever day it is that your church can meet, 99 out of 100 Christian churches can and do meet on Sunday. So you should do what you can to be here. But if you have to work, don't think that God's going to, you know, send a lightning bolt. But that's between you and God, and you know if you have to. If you don't have to, you ought to be here. Amen? So let's close there, verse 17. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. And folks, read that close. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. That is what we will do for all of eternity.
Amen.
We are going to rejoice for all the glorious things that were done by him.
Amen.
And it's going to take forever. Psalm 5:11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee.
Amen.
Psalm 105:3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Amen. So let's close with a look at the future. One last place, Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19, and beginning in verse 5. And just for context, verse 3 says, again, they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And verse 4, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. This is heaven, a scene in heaven. Now, beginning verse 5, read 5 through 7 with me. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye certain servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
You're going to say that.
Yeah, practice. Yeah, well,
Hallelujah.
You're going to say that.
Amen.
And you're going to say it throughout eternity. You're going to be praising the Lord for all that he's done. I just sometimes sit there and realize, as much as I try, as hard as I try, I really never grasp it the way I believe we should. Of what Jesus has done for us. And yes, we're not in heaven yet, but we're as good as there.
Amen.
We are seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
The only thing, it's just as good as done when God says something. And God has said, you are saved. You are his child. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are already seated in heavenly places. You are already a child of God. You have a rendezvous with destiny based on the work of Christ and what he has done. You and I, if you're saved this morning, you and I are going to live forever.
Amen.
And we are going to be with him in a place where there is no more sin. There is no more heartache. There are no other women bowed down and unable to be lifted up. There are no more blind. There are no more lame. There are no more COVID pandemics. There are no more cancers. There are no more. You just fill in the blank and sit there Sunday. We sing a song, Count Your Many Blessings. Sometimes I just like to count all the things that aren't going to be in heaven. And it's amazing to think about. I have not seen, ear heard, nor the mind of man imagined what the Lord has for us. But I like to try. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to close with the Lord's Supper. And I ask Charlie if you're able to help me out here. And Dre, if you're able to help me. Ready to take the bread, and Charlie, and the cups. Huh? Jenny's just going to play and stand there just a minute. And these gentlemen will bring around the bread and the cup. As we take unleavened bread, sinless sacrifice of Jesus Christ. No leaven. Pierced for our sins. Broken on our behalf. He that knew no sin became sin for us.
Amen.
Broken on that cross. Shedding his blood as full payment for sin. As they bring this around, you take time between you and the Lord, and you meditate on what we're doing. We're observing a remembrance of his death, shed blood, your sin. Just make it personal, your sin. I'll make it personal, my sin. Now, as they give you this in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28, it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So I just want you to take a moment. Are you far from God? Is there something in your life that you know you're in rebellion with God? Of course, first and foremost, no one should partake if you're not a born-again child of God. So right now is the time. Take a moment. Confess your sin to God, not to us. And He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That can happen any time, any day, including right now. Before we partake, I'll give you just a few minutes, a couple of minutes, to examine yourself before the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 23, Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." In remembrance of his shed blood, his death on the cross, we are saying that we believe he rose from the dead, and we believe he is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. So let's sing on page 502. Is that the right page? I'm sorry. 393. I got the wrong number up there. Had to end on that note, didn't we? 393. Take my life and let it be. Stand if you can. I'm just going to have Jenny play. I'm just going to have Jenny play. Thanks.
Take my hands and let them move.
I just want to ask if Charmaine noticed that I have a Hawaiian print shirt on. Yeah, yes. Can you wait till...
No, I just want to say, would it be maybe all right if Charmaine go up there again and sing with you? And I wouldn't think...
No, you didn't. That's not a thing. We love you. All right. Prayer cards. Onliners, get your prayer cards in the bbfohio@protonmail.com. And those, the rest of you, have them here. Raise your hand and Janie will collect them. Let's say goodbye on three to the onliners. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Goodbye.